We're going to focus on one verse this evening in Matthew 28, but we're going to read from Matthew 27, verse 57, which is on page 1000 of the church Bibles. It's the evening of the first Good Friday when the Lord Jesus has been crucified, and he is now dead. And as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Amen. This is God's word. Please do open your Bibles up again at Matthew 27 and 28 on page 1000. And let's pray. Our Father in heaven, although this passage may be familiar to many of us, may we never tire of its joy. May the risen Jesus speak to us, and would we be eager to listen. In his name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you're familiar with the phrase, he is a man of his word. He is a man of his word. I suppose it's quite an old-fashioned way of saying that if someone says they will do something, then they will be committed and do it. There, he or she is a man, a woman of their word. Or if they said, this is how something happened, then that is how it happened. They're a man of their words. It conjures up in my mind images of people of my grandfather's generation, solid, dependable types, men of their words. I was reminded of this phrase this week because of four young American men who claimed they had been robbed at gunpoint in Rio. When the incident was investigated, it turned out that these four young men had merely decided to go on some kind of rampage. They trashed a petrol station and the vehicle that they were in. And to cover their tracks, they invented a story, thinking that they would get away with it because, well, they're Olympic athletes, and we all know Olympic athletes, they're men of their word. Except they weren't. What about us? The truth is, at one point or another, we've exaggerated, we've told a half-truth or outright lied, we've tried to put the blame on someone else so that we don't look quite as bad, so that we don't get caught. As much as I would like to be a man of my word, because of that bias I have towards sin, my word, there's always a little tinge about it. What about when it comes to the Lord Jesus? Can he be trusted? Is he a man of his word? When he speaks about our life and our death and what happens to us afterwards, is he a man of his word? Well, tonight, let me draw your attention to a wonderful certainty declared by his empty tomb on the very first Easter Sunday morning. Jesus is a truth-telling man of his words. When he says that something will happen, we can be sure that it will definitely happen. Look down at Matthew 28, verse 6. An angel of the Lord is speaking to two women called Mary who had gone to Jesus' tomb at dawn. And the angel said, he is not here. He has risen. And it's the four words that come next that I want to focus on tonight. Just as he said. Just as he said. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said. Four brilliant words that tell us that Jesus can be completely trusted. Just as he said, four brilliant words that mean we can trust all of our life to what he says. Four brilliant words that mean we can trust our death and what happens to us afterwards completely to Jesus. Just as he said, four brilliant words that I hope will send us home this evening, rejoicing, trusting, and the certainty of everything our Lord Jesus Christ says. Jesus can be completely trusted. He's a man of his word. Now, before we go any further, it's worth reminding ourselves what it was that happened just as he said. And on at least five occasions in Matthew's gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about rising from the dead. Back in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew records that from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. In the next chapter, chapter 17, Jesus predicts that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life. When Jesus predicted these things to his disciples, they didn't understand. It seemed like nonsense to them for anyone to say that they were going to be crucified and then a few days later be raised again. If I said it, if anyone else said it, anyone in this room or outside of this room said those words, it would be nonsense. But it was not nonsense for Jesus. He is God become man. Not only was his death part of the plan to save people from their sins, so was his resurrection. Later on in Matthew's gospel, in chapters 26 and 27, just before what we read, we see there the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus. He did go to Jerusalem. He was betrayed. He was handed over. It was the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees who did it. He really was killed. It happened just as he said. His predictions were true. And so it is with his resurrection from the dead. Look at verse 63 of chapter 27. The chief priests and the Pharisees go to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. They called Jesus that deceiver. Nothing could be further from the truth. It all happened. He told the truth just as he said. Think of Mary in verse 9 of chapter 28. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. There was no deception. There was no con. Mary knew whose feet that she clasped. She knew who greeted her, who was speaking to her. That happened just as he said. Isn't it sad, but yet funny, that the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, they go to Pilate and say, we want to make the tomb secure. They do their utmost to try and make sure that the tomb stays as it is. Yet on that Sunday morning, the angel of the Lord comes and chucks the stone aside, just like he's thrown aside a beach ball, as if it was light as a feather. Do you know if the Lord Jesus was not raised from the dead, there would be no Christian faith. There would be nothing to believe in. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, we couldn't trust anything that he said. But he was. And therefore, we can trust everything that he said. As I reflected on those four words this week, three glorious certainties stood out to me. Here's the first one. Through the resurrection of Jesus, the truth-telling man of his word, we can be certain death has been defeated. We can be certain death has been defeated. The relevance of these words are brought home to us every single day. The relevance of these words should never grow old to believers in the Lord Jesus. On Friday, a 3-year-old boy was out playing and he was killed by a dog. 6 people at least over this weekend went to the beach and were there to have a great time and never came home. Ah, yes, I read this week we're using human shields as they retreated from a Syrian town. We live in a world full of death. It's inevitable. It's as unpredictable as walking along the beach one day and a wave taking you out to sea and you're gone. Whether we like it or not, one day we will die. We have to face up to the reality that death is coming. In chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel, as Jesus begins his public ministry, we're told that human beings live under the shadow of death. Death casts its shadow over all of our lives, and it is a long shadow. It's one of the big reasons we need to hear again and again, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Maybe you didn't notice as we read, but there were repeated mentions of the word, the body of Jesus. Joseph asked Pilate for the body. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a cloth, and put it in a new tomb that he had cut himself. The two Marys saw the place where the body was laid. And later they went back to that same place. And when they got there on the Sunday morning, what happened? Well, they didn't expect it. The stone was rolled away. And as we look at verse 6 again, let me read it. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. The angel invites the woman in to see where the body was. The stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let the witnesses in to see it. The guards were terrified. The women, I'm sure, must have been. The angel's first words were, "Don't be afraid. Jesus is not here." His body had been there, but it was there no longer. His soul had never been there, because at the moment that he gave up his spirit on the cross on the Friday afternoon, it immediately went to heaven. And as Jesus came back to life again, body and soul were reunited, just as he said. The message of the empty tomb is that death has certainly been defeated. Jesus really did die. He died the death that sinners like me deserve. He died in order to remove the shadow and sting of death for all who will trust in him. He really rose again in order to give hope to all who will trust in him, that at the moment of their physical death, they too will go straight to heaven. And all who trust in him, at some point in the future, Jesus promises their body and soul will be reunited just like his. And the Bible promises that that will be a brilliant day. Our world loves to lump Jesus together with other religious leaders. If we had the time or inclination, we could go and try and find the tomb of Muhammad or Buddha or any of these religious leaders. But if we were to go and try and find Joseph's new tomb, well, it's not new anymore. It's about 2,000 years old. We'd find that it was empty. There's no body there rotting and decayed. There's no skeleton. He's alive, just as he said. Twice in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says that those who stand firm to the end will be saved. Those who trust in him and continue to put their hope in him need have no fear of death, because it's been defeated. That brings me to my second certainty, and that's that through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that truth-telling man of his word, we can be certain that eternal life is available. The New Testament doesn't tell us exactly how Jesus was raised from the dead, except that it was in the power of the Holy Spirit. But what the New Testament does tell us is that the resurrection changed the world forever. It's no accident, again, that Matthew records when this happened, that it was a Sunday, that it was the day after the Sabbath. It was the first day of the week. It's supposed to set our minds back to the earliest chapters of the Bible, to Genesis. God created the world in 6 days and then rested from all that he had done. At Easter, Good Friday, Friday the sixth day of the week, Jesus completed his work. And then on the Sabbath, he rested on the tomb. And on the first day of the week, he rose again to declare to the world it was the start of a new age, the age of his everlasting kingdom. Matthew, again, through his gospel, it tells us that that kingdom, we really need to be part of it. It's a brilliant kingdom, but it's not one that we are born into. It's not one that we can earn our way into. It's not something that we naturally achieve on our own. In Matthew 19, a very famous passage, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "How can I be sure of eternal life? What must I do?" And the disciples themselves, after that, say, "Who can be saved? Who can be sure of eternal life?" Jesus replies that it is impossible for humans on their own to receive eternal life. But it's possible with God. And as God become man, through his death and resurrection, just as he said, the risen Lord Jesus makes eternal life a certainty for all who trust in him. In a few weeks' time, it's going to be the Paralympics. Some of the events are astonishing. One that I really like to watch out for is the blind sprinters. I don't know if you've seen it. They're tied to someone else who can see. And the person they're tied to guides them to the finish line, to the gold medal. They cannot do it themselves. They need someone who will show them where to go. They trust entirely that person that they're tied to. Eternal life is available through the Lord Jesus to all who will abandon the idea that they can get there themselves and who will spiritually tie themselves to him. And as we do that, he leads us to eternal life. He brings us into his kingdom where he is the king. Jesus promises that kingdom is worth giving up everything for. As I said, this passage might seem really familiar to us. Those words, "He is not here, he is risen," just as he said. But it transformed the very first believers. Their lives were changed forever. Think of those first disciples. They had been those who had denied Jesus, those who had run away during his arrest. After his resurrection, they became fearless messengers who, with his help, took his message across the world and changed it forever. He is risen, just as he said. That is a message that Christian believers can build their life on. That's a message we can put our hope in, both for this life and for the eternal life that is to come. What's the final certainty that we see tonight? Well, I've said it again and again. We can be certain that every single word of Jesus is to be trusted. I was a teenager just back in 1994. when the national lottery started. I'm not a fan. I've never played it. But before the draw was made, they used to go to this woman who was called Mystic Meg. And yeah, people remember that, you know, that television program, and you know, and she would be someone who would give predictions about, you know, who was going to win or what was going to happen. You know, it was totally bonkers and really, really vague. You know, it was things like, it will definitely be a man who wins tonight or a woman. You know, it will almost certainly be someone who lives in the UK. You know, it was that kind of, you know, maybe someone has a pet dog or maybe not. And maybe that could be me. That's what people thought. It seems weird. You know, you would never want to trust your life or trust anything on those kind of predictions. But the certainty of the empty tomb assures us that everything Jesus says, every word of his teaching, is completely reliable, and we are to trust it. Matthew's gospel is full of Jesus' teaching. And when Jesus said things, he wasn't just throwing obscure predictions out into the air. He wasn't teaching things that were probably true. Everything he said was right and good. The empty tomb confirms that Jesus is God who we should worship and obey. When he says in Matthew's gospel that it is right for believers to mourn over our sin, we can be certain that that is a good thing and a right thing for us to do. When he says that small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to eternal life, that's accurate. When he says that we should forgive and keep on forgiving, and when people sin against us, yes, we are to forgive them. We can be certain that that is 100% right. When he says that many will turn from the faith and hate each other, we should take notice. Imagine if we had time to compile a list of every single piece of teaching in Matthew's gospel. In fact, throughout the whole Bible, we could put a tick next to every single one, because it is right and true. And as his followers, he helps us to do it. We're not just to pick and choose the bits that we like. We're to be obedient to all that he says. But not only is his teaching to be trusted and obeyed, you see, just as he said, means that the other promises that he has made, both now and for the future, and the warnings that he gives in his word, they are true and reliable as well. You see, believers can take great comfort from the fact that if we come to him weary and burdened, he will give us rest. When Jesus promises to build his church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, we can be sure that that is true, no matter what the media say, or however many enemies, or however powerful they look. The Lord Jesus promises this. When we're told to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded, well, because Jesus has all authority, we can trust that as we speak of his message of the cross, that people will want to become his disciples. And when he describes himself as the king who promises to return and judge the whole world, we can be sure that is true. If you're here tonight and you're not sure about Jesus, or if you've chosen to reject him, you must take heed and listen to these warnings. You must listen to his command to turn from your sin, to repent, as the Bible says, and ask for his forgiveness. And then come follow him. Submit to his authority over every part of your life. And as you do that, your sins are forgiven. And you can be sure of eternal life. If you act like Mary, who bowed before Jesus, who clasped his feet and worshipped him, there is nothing to fear. He will never turn you away. I started tonight by speaking of four young American men who lied about what happened at a petrol station. It's going to be pretty difficult for people to believe anything that they say from now on. Imagine the next time they're in Rio and they actually do get robbed at gunpoint. People are going to say, "We don't believe that. What are you trying to cover up this time?" The message for us this evening, the message of the empty tomb, the message that these things happened just as he said, is that we can be certain and we should take the risen Jesus exactly at his word, because it all happened just as he said. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus declares to us that Jesus is a man of his word, and we can trust everything he says. Forgive us when we think we know better than him, or we disregard what he says. And would we be those this week confident of our future, certain of eternal life, and longing to share the good news of the Lord Jesus with others? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.